Lisa, I thought they had me.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to Ballin' Out
Super!
My name is Jeremy Hammond. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Katie Rose Leon.
It's so hot, I bought 100 SPF sunscreen, and I'm ready to party.
And Alex Patak.
Hi, I'm Alex Patak. No, I'm not.
And joining us this week is a very special guest, a good friend of the show, Max Ogle.
Oh, hey guys, what's going on? How is that thing we just watched?
Are you just going to take on my role?
Well, no, because I came out like I was on daytime TV. Like, I was just like, oh, hey, how's everybody? It's not like we just didn't sit together for half an hour and already watch a thing. I'm just like, I have too much etiquette.
And the best part is I know that you listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know the format pretty well.
There's no surprises here.
There are some minor surprises in which that Adult Swim does not give a fuck about their website. And they have been fucking with us emotionally. Right? Because we thought
there was going to be 2 weeks off of Dragon Ball Super because that was, I think I read that on Reddit. I think that was where I got that information from, that it was going to be 2 weeks without Super, and we were going to have to come up with shit for 2 weeks. And that's why we watched those fan films the past 2 weeks. But then this week, it turns out that we were completely wrong, and they did show Super last week. And now we're catching up. We have Max here in
doing double duty, baby.
Doing double duty. Yeah, we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do a part two right after this, which is, I guess, the best way to handle this situation.
All right, let's talk about anime, I guess.
Yeah. So Max, you're familiar with the format of our show. We like to talk a little bit about Dragon Ball.
Day that I watched Dragon Ball was March 22nd, 2000. It was a stormy day, a cold day, a day without friendship, family, love. And who stumbles into my house via the television but Goku and the gang? I watched a lot, like, when I was a kid. Starting probably with, I think I started with the Saiyans and then went up to Frieza, and then they did that whole thing where they just started showing Dragon Ball instead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was, we talked about this last week with, was it Josh, was saying how Adult Swim for so long did that thing where they would show a season of it and then right at the end of it just start over from the top again with no warning or anything. And I guess, like, I was thinking about this. I think, like, the concept of, like, a season of television is something that I only really learned about as an adult.
Well, yeah. Well, it's also, like, sort of, like, American. Like,
yeah.
The idea of, like, this is a 13-episode season. We'll be showing it all in a row, and then it'll be done for a while, and then we'll show another one. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we're one of the only countries that, like, has that, like, super...
Super! No, I was thinking about it, though, that, like, I mean, like, on the networks, on, like, the ABCs and the Foxes and whatever, their seasons are, like, 50 episodes mm-hmm. long. And yeah. So you don't really consider them a season. You're just like, oh, like, it's just on all the time.
Right.
And then on the cable channels, I guess it's, like, a 13-episode season, and then they start over again next year. But, like, with Dragon Ball and things like that, I just feel like I always was just like, Dragon Ball's on, sometimes it's new.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember, though, the first time figuring out that there were seasons was actually because, as we've covered on the show, I was obsessed with Digimon as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there's, like, 500 episodes of that shit or whatever. But it definitely has season one and season two. It's just each season is, like, a million episodes long.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I see how this works now.
Digimons are the champions.
Change!
World!
I just, because we keep making that joke on this podcast, I actually, like, went on YouTube and looked up the theme song again. I totally forgot how, like, epic that guy's voice is. Like,
yes.
Because it does, like, the Digimon, and that part, like, builds up, and then he comes in for that change
into digital champions. Yeah, it's, like, very, listen. They got to save two worlds. Do you know how much work that is?
I do remember that there was some arc where they did go back to the regular world.
Yeah, and then they're like, shit's still fucked up.
Yeah.
We got to go back inside the computer. I'm like, me too. Put me inside the computer, Ty and friends. I want to go in there.
See, I was more of a, like, in terms of, like, getting put into a computer, I was more into, like, the serial experiments lane sort of getting put into
but
a computer.
Yeah, when I got a little older, like, not much, I also was into that because I was real spooky. And I'm like, yeah, when I die, I'm going to haunt all you on AIM.
I'm going to change your away messages to creepy things.
It's the perfect version of, like, the technological singularity, right? Is, like, not, like, there's no, like, a 3D visual world that anyone exists in. You just are on AIM. I would love that.
You're like, oh, my away message used to be Blink-182 lyrics. Now it's My Chemical Romance. And I was like, boo.
It's the year 3000, and we still have Thursday lyrics. anyways, so we got off track a little bit. We're talking about Max, your fandom of Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
You were a fan of Dragon Ball Z when you were a kid. Like, what? I guess I kind of stopped asking this for a while, but I'm starting to become curious about it again. Like, your fandom when you were young, like, first of all, how intense was it? And second of all, like, what did it manifest itself as?
It had to be quiet because my mom was very, like, against violent television.
Uh-huh.
So I'd have to watch it and just be, like, very, like, controlled. Like, look, mother, I'm watching the violent television and I'm sitting very still. It's not having any effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not one of those children.
This is interesting to me because I know this about your mother, which is that she was a fan of fantasy novels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I know in general that fantasy is sometimes like a violent genre. She was a Tolkien mm-hmm. fan, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it was just the only difference is like, because that's old, so that's art. You know, it's like,
does she know how old Dragon Ball is?
Well, I think
it started in the early 80s.
Actually, I think I did have a conversation with her because when I was watching the original Dragon Ball, because that was like in the 70s, right? Or was
no,
Dragon Ball was early
80s? 83, 84 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because she lived in Japan in like the mid to late 70s.
Uh-huh.
So I think she had like some kind of run in with something that I was watching once. And she was like, they put this in English? Like, she was like, this show sucks. This is like one of the worst ones. But yeah, I don't know.
But so you were watching, you were trying to.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I would, when I would play out, hang out with my friends, because I started watching when I was like 8 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just like, recreate events. Some kids would buy t-shirts. I was not one of those kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a mall kiosk t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, I have that one Dragon Ball t-shirt that I got from DB Pins. Shouts to DB Pins.
Shout out to DB Pins.
You guys rule. You're the best.
Please sponsor us.
Yeah, please. Send us things. But they make literally the only tasteful Dragon Ball shirt I've ever seen in my
life.
Listen,
with the rise of, like, quote-unquote aesthetic fashion, it is so easy to make a quality anime t-shirt
yeah.
that doesn't look like garbage, and yet I think because of the bro-y fan base of Dragon Ball, they really are failing to make cool Dragon Ball shirts. You can find them in Sailor Moon. You can find them a lot of Evangelion ones.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm,
listen, I'm mm-hmm. on that beat.
I saw...
Send us your well-designed Dragon Ball shirts. We'll wear them, and you won't see us wearing them because we're on the radio.
We'll wear them at stand-up shows. Well, people will see them.
Or at an anime convention. Have Bone Out Super at your anime convention. You will not notice us there.
I saw a series of enamel pins recently. They're all faces of anime ladies. Okay. It's
right.
Sailor Moon, Bulma, you know, Sakura from, or whatever her name was from Cardcaptor Sakura.
Oh, yeah.
All these female characters from animes, all with a ball gag in.
Oh, no, buddy.
Oh, I, like, collect S&M Sailor Moon shit at this point. Cause I'm like, all my interest at once!
There you go.
I'll try to find these buttons for you.
It's like problematic because I know a dude made them, but at the same time, I'm like, nah, I want that shit.
problematic.
Can we get Lupin the Third with a ball gag in?
This
will only be a truly equal world.
Yeah.
Yeah, make me a tuxedo mask one. I will also wear that.
Someone make a picture of Sailor Moon pegging tuxedo mask and we will have gender equality.
I feel like...
Please make that and send it to me. You keep joking and I keep being like, no, I would wear that t-shirt, not... only on the weekends. I'm only gay on the weekends, everybody.
I feel like it's the only sadism you could do to Tuxedo Mask is just post a picture of him in sweatpants and a t-shirt. He'd be so embarrassed. He'd be like, guys, that's my whole thing.
He's picking his teeth with one of the roses.
Yeah, yeah.
Damien dresses very nice on the weekends, too, I'll tell you that. off topic. Everyone right. knows where my priorities lie in this podcast.
All right, should we get into the episode, Katie?
All right. Episode 20, a warning from Jocko. Frieza and a thousand shoulders close.
So 500 men.
Oh, God. Podcast is really doing a lot for my self-esteem.
Takes 1,000 shoulders.
Okay.
Stand that high.
We stand on the shoulders of 500 giants.
A warning from Jacko. Frieza and 1,000 soldiers close in.
Nice.
I did it.
So 2,000 shoulders.
I'm like a otaku, My Fair Lady in here, just learning to enunciate Vegeta. Okay. Gang, this is definitely an episode, one of those episodes where they're like, we need to just set up a bunch of shit, but yeah. not actually have anything happen.
Yeah, no, nothing really happened, right? We met Jocko.
We met Jocko, who is a pain in the ass forever.
Yeah, okay, so this is, we didn't talk about this before, but you've been watching Super.
Oh, yeah, I'm caught up.
You're caught up. You're all the way caught up in Japan, not, caught up.
Like, as much as they are on the internet, caught up, I think, yeah.
So this is going to be a little tough for us, because I think you're the first person who, I mean, I guess Carlos Delgado had seen a few ahead of us. But he wasn't, like, super far ahead. You're the only one, I think, who's, like, fully up to date who we've had on the show so far. So it's going to be very difficult to keep
so
from
I'm the
spoiling.
Lamest person you've had on the show.
Yes, by far.
I don't think, you know, we're going to go through the episode. And
I won't
you
spoil
can,
nothing. It's
cool. Yeah, please try to avoid
I will
it.
Not. I will not.
Jocko, you've already spoiled Jocko, will continue to be in the show.
Oh, shit, I guess I have.
Oh, I mean...
I didn't assume his arc didn't close.
Do we fucking care? I don't know. I don't know how much
fine.
I care. Okay, so
sorry,
we open up. Frieza's back, y'all. His voice sounds a little weird. We're going to forgive him because probably the original guy quit or some shit.
Oh, yeah, or died.
Frieza.
But so he shows up and his voice is super deep.
Yeah.
And we all kind of like... That's what's weird about it is that it's deep.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like he came back from the dead...
Just like
very different overall, right?
Yeah.
Because he's got the deeper voice, but then he's also like, he seems like he's forgotten a lot of things. Like, he comes out and they're like, we use the Dragon Balls to bring you back. He's like, oh, those things, those silly orbs from the planet I died on. Like, you'd think that would be a major thing he'd remember. Like, well, that's where he died. That's why he was on that planet to begin with.
Maybe it's not the fact that he forgot. He's just like, oh my God, I've been tortured for, like, what, like 12 years straight? Yeah. And so he's just like, oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
it's really
just...
nice not being tortured.
Yeah.
I think he's just catching up, yeah. Like, you know, he's just... You know when you wake up groggy for a nap and you during the movie, people are just catching you up what happened.
And so his grogginess is just naturally very arrogant. Because he comes out and he's like a fucking... He's like a steam engine. He just comes out and he's just like, oh, right, I'm back to life. Like, he just is immediately...
You've been in charge.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Sorbet.
Yeah, this guy on the ship... Frieza's like, who are you? And he's like, I was part of your support staff. Like, he was a customer service agent for Squarespace. And he's like, I've been running your ship. And we got like Koala, some gray alien guy. We got Slippy the frog.
Yeah.
We got Satan and, you know, a Space Jam style like Fishman monster.
Yeah, please, can we not browse over the fact that Slippy is there?
It's really nice to see Slippy still getting work. Yeah.
It's a lot like the Star Wars cantina scene where like you're going around and you're like, oh man, like look at all these fucking aliens. This is cool character design. There's the butt face guy. There's like a dude with a weird nose. That guy's like a hammerhead sort of thing. And then there's just the devil.
Yeah.
And you're always just like, why is that guy just the devil? And it's sort of the same thing here where it's like weird nose guy, weird ear guy, all sorts of alien-y looking things, and then just a frog.
And the devil.
And a devil, yeah.
But they he's not talking this episode.
But he looks like a Hellboy.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of which, Frieza talks about being in what he calls Earth's hell.
Oh, yeah.
And they cut to him in Earth's hell, which is like a real cute Toriyama joke about him being in like a land with like fluffy teddy bears and cherubs.
Yeah, he's so tortured.
He's so mad about it. Oh my god.
Because Frieza's a bad guy, so he doesn't like good things.
It reminds me like when 13-year-old girls first go goth and they're like, yeah, pink's stupid. I hate it so much.
And the first thing they decorate their room with is a stuffed Hello Kitty that they stab to the wall.
Yeah, they're like, I took this Barbie doll and I cut her hair off. Because I hate it.
I still do that.
Can we address two things about this? One is that in Frieza's hell, there's like, obviously there's the toys and the stuffed animals and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then again, this was in the last episode and it's in this episode again. We see it a second time. A Playboy playmate. Just like a chick with bunny ears.
You know what? Frieza is probably ace and he doesn't like that.
Yeah,
that sexuality thrust upon.
Yeah.
Him.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's like, that's fine for you, but I don't want to be a part of it. Yeah. You know?
So then, wait. The second thing I wanted to point out before we move on is that it is referred to as Earth's Hell.
Mm-hmm.
That is genuine exposition. That's like a interesting piece of world building that they just browse right by. That could have been the whole episode, and I would have been so happy if they just explained how this is Earth's hell, and other planets have their own hell.
Well,
that would have been sick.
Like, Dende stands on a platform, and then Mr. Popo's like, he stands on this platform all the time, call him God! Like, you know, like, so, I mean, it's pretty arbitrary, I think, like.
So, we gotta just get off this spaceship real fast.
Yeah, let's get off the ship.
There's a couple of important things real fast. They're like, hey, did you bring my dad back? And they're like, no. And he's like, well, don't bring daddy back because I don't want him. So that's important. But also, you know, Frieza's going on a rant. And then they're like, hey, how about we stop fucking with Saiyans because who cares? And like focus on the universe. And he's like, no.
No, I'd like to continue fucking with Saiyans.
Have you heard about the plot?
Yeah.
What else are we going to do?
Yeah, they literally go like, it turns out Goku is more formidable now. And it's like, he beat up Majin Buu. And Frieza's like, oh, Majin Buu and Beerus the Destroyer. Those are the two people my dad told me to never fight. And yet here we are.
Can we talk about how stupid of a plot device that was?
Yeah.
He's like, wait a second. My dad told me about these two characters that just... Because if I remember correctly, Majin Buu was like this ancient legend that nobody knew about.
Yeah.
And then that little yellow guy is the only one who fucking knows that this thing exists. So that when he shows up, everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, right? And that was the worst Toriyama joke. Bibbidi, Bobbidi, and Boo.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, get Boo, out. Toriyama.
Yeah. But yeah, and then he yeah. But
yeah, and he just shows up. He's like, oh, my dad told me.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would King Cold know about either Majin Buu or Beerus?
He's King Cold, you know? He's King Cold, and he names his son Cooler, and then his other one Frieza. You know? He's... the refrigeration family. They don't know shit.
They're going to open a PC Richards and Sons competitor. First we conquer the universe, then we give insane prices on appliances. They'd be fools to turn down prices these good.
Fools.
You foolish monkey Saiyans.
Yeah, yo, it is this so is uncomfortable for me as a delicate snowflake every time Frieza refers to the Saiyans as monkeys.
Yeah, it feels awful.
And then, this has just been a very problematic episode, honestly.
Yeah, oh, let's get into it. Right, so Frieza announces that he's going to train for 4 months, and then we cut away, and then we go to Punchies and Fisties on Beerus's planet. We got some Punchies and Fisties. Whis is training the Z-Boys. And it turns out that Beerus got woke up. He's wearing his cute little jammy shirt.
He's
a little nighty.
He literally says, sounds like a screaming contest in here.
Yeah. And then Whis is like, ooh, did we wake you? And he's like, have you seen these ears? They're huge. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
this show is for children.
Yeah.
But there's like, they have a lover's quarrel, which I think is like very funny, where Beerus is like, oh, how did they get here? Did they bribe you with food? And they're like, yeah, duh. And then he goes, where's my cut of the food? And then Whis is like, oh, I lost it. And then Beerus goes, have you been going to Earth without me?
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, but why? What are you doing there?
We decided Earth was our place. We'd only go together.
Dr. Ralphie says we have to communicate about where we are at all times. See, what happened is they found their third, and then it got weird. Yeah. What else? When Beerus first shows up, he sneezes and a beam shoots out his nose and blows up an entire planet.
That's pretty dope.
That was good.
Alex would have liked that.
Yeah.
Rest in peace,
Rest
Alex.
In peace. Oh, my God. Guys, we didn't want to tell you, but Alex is dead. All of his quips have been recorded into a computer, and we just made a soundboard of him.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Beams! Beams! Beams!
You would have to do an imitation of Alex doing an imitation of me.
Yeah. What's up, weebs?
Oh my God, it's like the inception of
democratic socialism!
I don't know.
Anyways.
We should edit some.
That's off
out.
The marks. There we go.
Oh, also, Beerus calls them punch jockeys, which I really like.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
I thought that was a nice quip.
That was like, that had like the nastiness of like a 1950s insult.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're like,
punch jockeys.
Yeah.
We all know real men use their fingers.
It's like, it's like a really good insult that sounds racist, but we're not sure if it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of people having trouble with people different than them, we cut to Earth, and Jocko shows up, and Goten and Trunks are just being lovable scamps. They show up, and they're like, who are you? And he's like, where's your mom? And they're like, we're gonna touch your wet eyes.
Yeah, just two beautiful children seeing someone that looks different than them and being like, ooh, time to touch, you know?
Yeah, especially, like, Jocko is this alien that comes down in a very formative spaceship and knows who his mom is.
Yeah.
And, like, this kid's so traumatized that his first thing is like, he's like, you wouldn't know my mom. You got no fashion taste at all. And he goes, he literally says, you're wearing a full body stocking. I'm like, have you seen your own father?
Yeah. Nice try, dude.
I wish there would have been a montage of Trunks giving him a makeover, and he's like, put on this Hawaiian shirt. Now do it, Ollie. Anyway, Bulma finally comes out, and there's like just the stupidest go, you know, where Jocko's like beating around the bush, and then she informs him that her kids are Saiyans, and he's like, what? And he's like, your life partner is a Saiyan? And she goes, we call it husband here on planet Earth. And I'm like, girl, that is regressive.
Well, but so then it turns out Jocko is there to tell us, exclusively to tell, his whole job is just get here and tell us, Frieza's on his way. Got 1,000 dudes with him.
Yeah, well, and it's also his job to exclusively come to the planet Earth and then find one housewife who runs a company and is like, he's like, hey, by the way, your planet's going to get destroyed. He doesn't go to any leaders. He's not going to Dog President. He's not like, hey, Dog President, you might want to arm some nukes. He's like, hey, I think this guy knows like a tough guy. So,
like, he does say under his breath that Saiyans weren't even supposed to get to the planet, and that was his job. So he sucks at his job. He's just real bad at his job, everybody.
He set all of this in motion. He was supposed to stop Raditz and Vegeta and all them from getting to Earth.
I think he was supposed to stop Goku.
Oh.
Yeah, he was supposed to
But what the hell? This is another one of those things that it's like, this is major exposition. You could have developed a little bit more.
This is how the Silmarillion of Dragon Ball gets made. It's just like,
yeah, so then Bulma was just like, oh, fuck. And then, so she starts walking around outside with a sundae trying to lure Whis back to Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Whis, baby. Yeah. And, Jack was like, so it turns out we only have an hour. So she's like, oh, shit. So her first reaction is to call Krillin, who we've known has been a cop, but I just realized this episode that he's a fucking bike cop.
Yeah, the worst kind of cop.
Motorcycle, like Chips, okay? Pretty cool.
I don't know, man. He was wearing a bicycle helmet.
I want to go on record because Patak's not here. I'm fine with Krillin serving his community the best way he can.
Get okay. the fuck out. This podcast is over.
We got to talk about these Antifa. Cut his mic.
Cut his mic.
I love.
Okay. And then Android 18 shows up and he's like, I got to go fight Frieza. And she's like, I should go. I'm stronger than you. And he goes, no, stay here and raise our kids. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, I hate everything about this.
And then as he's flying away, she says, oh, he's so cool.
The worst.
The worst. The worst. Fuck everything.
No, you know your husband sucks. That's why you married him.
Yeah.
You said it when you were killing him literally like an hour before. You were like, you're really bad at this.
That's something important. Krillin goes, oh, there's no way Frieza could kill me twice. I'm like, yes, he can, bitch.
He definitely can. Yeah. And probably will, if I had to guess. You're a plot device, Krillin. Yeah. That's what you're here for.
And then all the boyfriends meet up. He calls all the boyfriends. He's got Master Roshi in his back. And then Tien's there. And then Piccolo's there. And then Gohan wearing a tracksuit with a bowl haircut.
Dude, he's such
what
a
the
dad
fuck?
Now.
What
it's
fucking
Gohan
dork.
Is like such a fucking disappointment.
He's like, bye, I'm going to go save the world. And puts on his tracksuit so he doesn't like rip his work pants.
We know he looks good in an orange gi. Yeah. We know he looks good in a purple Piccolo outfit.
It's because he's not yoked anymore.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, neither
so
is
skinny.
Krillin. Krillin is so scrawny now. Yeah. These guys all are so but, out of shape.
Like when he was wearing like the orange gi, like he was fucking shredded.
Yeah.
You know? Great. So hot.
And then Frieza kind of shows up and then it's over.
Oh yeah, no, that's the end of the episode. God. Nothing happened.
Nothing
we ever. Told you, we warned you. Nothing happened in this episode.
Nope.
We could have the whole episode could have been covered in one line of dialogue at the end of the last episode, which would have been Frieza steps out of the tank, okay? He goes up, and the guy's like, I'm Sorbet. And he would have been like, cool, get me 1,000 guys. We're going to Earth. And then next episode can be whatever this coming episode's going to be.
Round two.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ballin' Out
Super!
We're back. It's real hot. We're still with Max. This is the part two of our Maximum Ogle.
Yeah, dude.
Series.
Super.
Yeah,
super.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's lit. It's lit.
We're catching up.
Welcome back, Max. How are you feeling?
I smell much worse than when I came in here.
It's so hot. We're in a new room in my new apartment, and we did not anticipate that it would be very hot with the windows closed. We have a ceiling fan, but it's not doing much.
Yeah.
So we, you guys already know what Max's background with Dragon Ball is. He loves it.
Yeah, it's fucking great. It's so fucking good.
So goddamn good. We're actually all kind of jazzed right now, even though it's hot and disgusting and we're all tired. We're all at least a little bit psyched because that episode fucking ruled.
Yeah, tasty app.
Yeah. That was a really good episode. Alex is going to be really jealous that he missed this one.
Yeah, there is so much fighting. So many beams.
Lots of beams.
Let's just get the fuck right into it, right? Yeah. Katie, what was the episode called?
Oh, we had to look it up twice because it's very poorly translated. Yeah. The Start of Vengeance. The Frieza Force Strikes Gohan.
The malice of
Frieza Force Strikes Gohan. Sorry, guys.
It's an absurd title. It's definitely so far the worst one.
It's real bad. Let's get into it. Frieza lands and deploys a gazillion soldiers, and they come out like locusts. The animation's kind of cheap, but we forgive them.
Yeah, it looks like it's one of those times where you really like realize like kind of like what the shortcomings of the Cell animation on top of like the static background is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just like having all these dudes just move, and you know they're all in the same cell. It looks like shit. Mm-hmm. Is the point? It looks terrible. They look stupid coming out of that ship.
But there's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
There's a whole lot of them. 2,000 shoulders worth of people.
Yeah.
So Z boys are there.
Yeah, the Z boys have gotten there, but then Bulma shows up for some reason, right? Sorry, you're leading.
Yeah, Bulma's not there yet. First, the Z boys are there. And they're, like, just sizing up the situation. And they're like, hey, why isn't Boo here? And they're like, oh, that fucking useless piece of shit's asleep.
They tried tickling him. Yeah.
They tried it all.
Yeah.
Roshi brought some beans. And he also tells Gohan he looks like shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like, have you been training? You look skinny. And he's just like, not really.
There's like multiple yeah. times where that happens too, because Roshi says, you don't look like you've been training. And then later Piccolo's like, at least I know where my gi is.
No, yeah. he literally is like, at least I know where my fighting clothes are, which is fair because Gohan is wearing like a Kelly Green, like ironic tracksuit.
Yeah. He looks like the singer of an emo band when we were going to the downtown in Farmingdale.
He looks like some, I know, yeah, he looks like he's part of the NSG or some shit.
Yeah.
Like some, like, OK Go spinoff that got signed real fast where they're like, this is where it's at now.
This is what the kids like. Get a keyboard player.
Yeah, and use the clap sound on your Casio keyboard. Yeah. No, he... It looks like he stopped by like a Dunham's or just like a Dick's Sporting Goods like right before he left. He's just like, whoa, I shouldn't be fighting in a sweater vest. And the guy's like, yeah, well, let me hook you up, buddy. This is.
He looks like one of those like in the, you remember on The Sopranos when they'd be at the pork store in like yeah. the back office or not the pork store, the strip club, mm-hmm. in the back office. And there'd always be like some Italian-American actor who gets like his one cameo on The Sopranos, shows up and he's like one of Tony's goons. And he's just like, hey, go fucking take care of Carmelo, whatever. And like he just comes in and leaves and you're like, oh, it's that guy. I saw him yeah. in that movie that one time. That guy was in Sergeant Bilko.
I really want Gohan's tracksuit to just have a giant Under Armour logo on it. just to like totally like transform him into like the dad exercise tool that he is. It's just like,
which is so funny because there's so much Dragon Ball themed like Under Armour knockoffs.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's all over
Fitness
Instagram.
Dudes love putting on their like Vegeta tank top and just getting swole.
Yeah, I'm on that fucking Goku workout plan. It's legit.
That's great awesome. I'll look that up. I want to get fucking
yoked,
dude. I want to have one of those necks that people are like, is that cool or scary? You know?
And then Bulma does show up, and she's like, none of you have cell phones.
Yeah. They're like, Bulma, what are you doing here? It's so dangerous. She's like, none of you idiots use cell phones. I invented one that's this big. It's tiny.
Yeah, but in their defense, they can feel every living thing on the planet. They're like, yeah, well, there's a rabbit like 45 yards away getting fucked, okay? And it's really distracting. I don't need another. My screen time is already really high, okay?
And then Jocko is kind of being annoyed. He's like, I only said I would drop you off. And she starts like spitting at him. And he goes, are you slogan shaming me?
Oh, yeah. He has some slogan. And then she, yeah.
Oh, because he's an intergalactic elite patrolman or whatever, and she's like, I thought you were an elite blah-da-da. And then he came back with that zinger.
Woof. That's a real, like, in an otherwise great episode, that is an absolute just.
I wonder what Jocko's Tumblr looks like.
Oh, my God. He had a lot to say about Bulma that day.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm tired of these white feminists.
Bulma's just leaning in all over the place.
Then Frieza's like, I'm here for revenge. And they're like, well, Goku's not here right now, but he'll show up. And I'm like, why? Just tell him, just say he doesn't live here anymore.
And then Sorbet is like, and I'm here too.
Yeah.
This whole episode, it's good, but there is a lot of, and I'm here too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a cool flashback to when Krillin died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Freeze immediately is like, didn't I murder you?
It's like, I swear I've killed you before. I swear.
I swear. Such a fun Frieza tidbit, because like we pointed out in the last episode that he didn't remember what Dragon Balls are, yeah. but he remembers murdering Krillin, which is like...
Well, you know where he finds his joy in his life, you know?
This guy's priorities.
Do you think he goes to... who else has killed Krillin? I can't remember now.
Like, He didn't die in the Saiyans. He almost did.
He didn't die in the Saiyans.
Cell might have killed him.
At least Majin Buu did, because Majin Buu killed like everybody.
Majin Buu turned him into a chocolate bar and ate him.
Right. So do you think Frieza like goes up to Majin Buu and is just like, I have a feeling we're Eskimo brothers.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That is really funny.
Man.
It took a while to get there, though.
It was a long trip, but I'll buy that ticket again, man.
Oh, man. What? I don't know. Bulma's like to Gohan is like, hey, didn't you kill Cell as a kid? And he's like, no, I'm a bitch now. I can't do anything.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I can sense his power is like real, real fucking high. Because he trained. He trained for like a couple
the
of
first
months,
time, in
the
his
first time in his life.
That dick. He's that guy in high school that was like smart up until like the very end. He's like, yeah, I studied. And it was like, God, I got like 100. It was great.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. I've never studied before.
Frieza counts to 10. To have Goku shows up and he doesn't, which I actually thought was pretty cool because usually that's like when the white horse would come in, but they're like, nah, guys, you just gotta fight.
Yeah.
And it turns out all Frieza soldiers kind of suck. They're just like kicking their ass. They're just doing stuff.
Oh, wait. Because before the Frieza boys attack, we all had the best like visceral reaction to this. Visceral is negative.
It was very real.
We had a very real emotional response to this when the Frieza boys start getting ready to attack. Roshi goes like, "All right, boys, it's time to fight!" And then he fucking just like his muscles just like explode out, and he becomes like the
just like the Roshi like that tears apart the Red Ribbon Army.
Yeah,
like,
do
just
you remember
like,
the Ultra Super Saiyan?
No,
when they were training for
they
were training for Cell.
Yeah,
and
when Trunks
was
like, I'm better than a Super Saiyan now.
Yeah, they thought they had discovered Super Saiyan 2, but they went down the wrong path of the maze, and they became these big meathead idiots, and they couldn't move. He looks like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see Roshi do anything except look at boobies, though.
It's so sick.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, yeah, there's a reason this dude's around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking sick.
And also, like, Roshi is really, like, holding it together because everyone's having an existential crisis while they should just be killing people.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, ugh, I'm so weak. I can't do it anymore. And he's like, we need to fight right now.
Yeah. And Roshi's like, boys, let's play the hits. We gotta get back out there.
Just play the set.
Who needs blow?
Don't try to riff on the room. Just play the set.
Yeah. Just do the fucking gig, man.
Frieza remembers baby Gohan, and he's like, he's so pure of heart, it makes me sick.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like is real classic villainry, and like, we're still kind of feeling halfway on this episode, because, you know, we were psyched about Roshi getting buff, but then, you know, we see Krillin sucking, we're all like, why is Krillin sucking? And then Frieza says, you know what? Everyone kill Krillin. And that's when shit starts getting crazy.
Yeah. He's just like, I've got free lunch for whoever kills Krillin.
Yeah.
They're like, oh shit, can we go to the good sushi place? And he's like, yes, and you can get 2 servings. And they're like, oh fuck.
Can we go to McDonald's?
What about bubble tea? Can we get bubble tea?
Can we get bubble tea?
Bubble tea? I want lychee jelly.
Well then go kill Krillin. Like,
oh my god, we're gonna get bubble tea. We never get bubble tea. This is the best.
Sorbet never gets us lunch. Like, I'm so glad Frieza's back.
So Krillin runs away in front of some very like aesthetic like Windows 95 water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Goku and Vegeta. They're still training.
Yeah.
Whis is annoyed. He's like, if you guys are just gonna punch each other all day, you could do that literally anywhere. And then Beerus is like, please get out of my house. I live here. I'm just like trying to live my life. You're so loud and sweaty.
Yeah, and then he gives us a little, you guys want to like fight me or something? And they're like, nah. And he's like, all right, cool.
Then get out.
This counts as a check-in, I guess.
Yeah. And then Beerus is like, well, we could take him to the place. And Whis is like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, just do it. And so we sucks Goku and Vegeta into a magical vortex, and that's it.
Yeah, we don't know where they went. Hopefully they didn't, you know, just, like, die or something.
It's a Magic School Bus spinoff. They just go inside Beerus, and it's like, this is what makes him sneeze. Like,
it's an inner space.
Yeah, it's just...
That would be great.
Yeah, they punch his uvula, they see his beam organ, the, you know...
His beam gland.
His bleem, you know? Like, you know.
Oh, my God. That would be a great episode. I would love that. I was thinking, though, it would be like all the stories you hear about the Montauk Project.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The Montauk
they
Project?
They already made a TV series about that, though.
It's called Lost.
And... The Stranger Things, isn't that all
Stranger
about
Stranger Things
the
also, yeah. But yeah. So the Montauk Project is all these like old military bases out in Montauk, Long Island, and there's all these like rumors about what they were working on there and what they were trying to do. And one of the main ones that people will talk about is that they were trying to invent time travel and teleportation.
Oh.
But that they had to stop it because the subjects kept getting like brutally killed, because they would put them in the portal thing to like transport them somewhere, but then they would end up transported halfway through a wall and it would just like sever their body and they'd just like fall in half and die.
Instead, they just gave us all breast cancer.
Yeah.
They're like, we tried to invent time travel, instead we gave you an opiate epidemic. There you go, Long Island.
Shouts to Long Island.
As always. Anyway, after we go to Vortex Town, we're back with Krillin. He's surrounded by goons, and he is being a loser. He can't move. He's starting to cry.
He's such a bitch.
He's just being a punk bitch. And so Roshi has to, like, do that thing where you have a friend who's, like, suffering from depression, and you've been very patient with them because you're empathetic to their struggle, but this has been, like, month three, and you're just like, hey, buddy, the strength's been in you the whole time. Like, you can do it. You know, you can. I believe in you, but also we really need to speed this up. Yeah.
We need to get to the DMV. It's going to close.
Krillin, we're here for you. We love you. We're so glad you've been doing so much self-care. Let's get it to fucking together, buddy, or else you can't be a Zed boy anymore, okay? You can't.
Come on.
You're out.
Oh, my God. Do they call it Dragon Ball Z?
I hope so.
England?
I really hope. Like there's a parallel podcast that's just like, right, so Krillin's being like a right wanker, right? He's not moving at all. He's just standing there, and it's just like the other Zed boys are like kicking ass, taking names, you know.
And he's just being a right twat, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, weebs?
Yeah.
Oi, what's up, weebs?
Oi, what's up, weebs? Fancy a scroop? Like, I can only do, like, a halfway, like, brothel wench from the turn of the century. This is the Michael Caine Dragon Ball Super Podcast.
Krillin, we believe in you.
So what happens next, Katie?
Ugh, okay. So Krillin believes in himself because he realizes he does know how to fight. And then he actually does something super dope, which is he throws this guy into the sun, and then he does a move that I haven't seen in a million years, where he shoots the beam into the sky, and then all the beam shards come down and murder everybody.
Yeah, he did that during the Saiyan saga. He killed a bunch of the Cybermen with that.
Cybermen.
Cybermen. It's sick. It's a cool move. I like it. It by itself is several beams, but then right after that, everybody suddenly remembers.
Everybody's like, oh, we're doing beams? Like,
everybody beams now.
Yes, it is. The CNC beam factory is open, and everybody is getting down with their bad selves.
Yeah, this is straight up World War II levels of production of beams. They turn the lipstick factory into a beam factory, and they're going nuts.
Yeah, man. Jock James came on, and they're just like, bum, 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 and everyone just fucking does their beams. Yeah. It's very exciting. I'm psyched. Especially,
they start blasting tub thumping over it.
It's so good. Everybody beams. There's a lot of talking, though, and no one getting punched in the face, where I'm like, this would seem like an opportunity to punch someone in the face, but that's just classic Dragon Ball. Roshi beams, Tien beams.
Yeah.
Piccolo even like gets in on that beam shit.
Hell yeah.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
Gohan, on the other case, is still like doing his fucking like Batman thing where he's like, oh, I can't actually kill these people.
Yeah.
Well,
what's his stupid deal?
I don't know.
My parents died.
He killed so many people on Namek.
Yeah. Well, he's a murderer.
He's killed.
It's because he's not angry.
He killed Cell.
He hasn't been angry in 20 years.
Now he's just like, I just know loans. He was loans just, and accounts.
He was a little kid that needed therapy and then actually got it. And then now he's not a good fighter anymore.
Yeah. So they're kicking everyone's ass. And so they send their big Satan guy out.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to anyone's name, so you guys can fill me in on that.
I don't
that.
Think yeah, we even know not. His name. Hellboy.
Yeah,
big old Hellboy. It doesn't even matter. We're never going to see him again.
Mickey Rourke out there. And he's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
They send Henry Rollins from the Liar video.
They really do. Oh, my God. And then he gives Gohan a big hug. And they have a conversation.
Yeah. He goes to, like, crush his back in, like, a big old bear hug sort of thing. But then Gohan's like, this isn't doing anything to my big, strong Super Saiyan spine.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about his daughter or some dumb shit like that.
Hey, you want to see a picture? It's really, she's really cute.
Yeah.
Stupid.
And then
it's
he
dumb.
Decides to kick his ass, but before he has a chance, what's that guy's name?
One Punch Man.
Yeah. One Punch
Man. Purple One Punch Man.
I just think just like him.
I just been calling him Gray Alien.
Yeah, Graylian.
Yeah,
thank you. I was just
Graylian. Shoots a beam through both of them.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
sick.
Was pretty sick.
It was pretty sick. They both are just like falling down dead, and then like Sorbet is like, "What the fuck, One Punch Man? That's our best guy. You fucking killed him." And he's like, "You gotta be fucking ruthless. We took out their best guy in the process." And then Frieza like looks over him. He's just like, "Fuck yeah, I
fucking
like
respect,
this,
dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Hell yeah." Yeah.
He says, "True power is ruthlessness."
Yeah. And then he reveals the fucking Insano backstory, which is like straight up Attack on Titan level dark. It's crazy. He just like, for what is it, 3 months that he was training for?
Yeah, four months.
Whatever months it is, he's just every single night gets beaten to death by Frieza until he's just barely alive. And then he gets thrown in the regeneration chamber to wake up the next morning and do it again.
Yeah, man, that's some real shit.
So now he's just like super.
He's nuts.
He's just like I'm really good at fighting now.
He's really good at fighting, but he's also insane.
Yeah, he's also like, "I've been hurt. My parents didn't hug me enough, and my last boyfriend was rude, and now everyone must suffer." And now he's super bananas, and it was like. And yeah, he says, "If I kill all these Z-boys in one go, can I be your number one?" And Frieza's like, "Fuck yes.
Not only can you be my number one, I'll let you top me too."
Yeah, right. Yeah, and he gets all powered up. And then Trunks and Gohan are like, "Oh, fuck, something's happening."
Oh, yeah.
And Gohan's just like, "I'm
Goten.
Just a... Oh, God. Ugh. Sorry, weeps." Goten's just like, "Oh, I'm just a little boy. I'm just having fun." And Trunks is like, "We better go get in trouble." So they...
"Let's go do it, dude."
So they go...
"Also, I got some cigarettes. Let's smoke them."
And then a reveal, because they're hanging out by the spaceship, and then that little froggy shows up.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, because... Well, so when One Punch Man is going out to fight, Sorbet uses the scouter again, and he's like... "Oh, he's stronger than the old school Ginyu Force." And then he's like, "The Ginyu Force? Did you say the Ginyu Force? They were legends once." And they're like, really, they're making sure to hammer home, like, "Hey, remember who the Ginyus are? Remember who the Ginyus are?"
Yeah.
And then we see that frog
from Namek
that they put Captain Ginyu into. Why is he there? They're not coming from Namek. That makes no sense.
Yeah. But hey, space is big and lots can happen.
And whatever.
Yeah. I'm a frog.
Speaking of frogs, what the hell happened to Slippy? We lost Slippy.
I know. I've been waiting for Slippy this whole episode. I like to think he's piloting the ship. You know? Because they're floating. Someone's got to like make sure all the controls and shit.
Yeah.
He's the most reliable dude on that ship.
Yeah, he knows how to fly.
Yeah.
He's watching the real Cybermen of New Namek. That's what he's watching.
"Fox, get these guys off me."
Actually, I hope Slippy's not driving because Slippy was useless.
Slippy was only slightly more useless than Falco. Falco was the worst one, I think. Because at least Slippy was nice to you.
Yeah, Falco.
None of those guys were useful. Peppy would give you the little pep talks, and that's nice. Everyone likes a pep talk. Slippy would be a pain in the ass and get lost and whatever. You had to like rescue her twice. Big pain in the ass.
Slippy's a girl?
I don't think Slippy has a gender.
No, I think Slippy's a guy. Yeah, I think. Frogs are asexual, actually.
I mean, I think Slippy is.
I mean, nature finds
genderless.
A way. You know.
Either way, at least Slippy was nice. Falco, you'd be like flying, and he'd be like, "Fox, get these guys off me!" And then you fucking get them. He's like, "Oh, it took you long enough."
Rude.
Fucking beaten.
What a prick.
Kids play this game, Falco.
And then fucking Star Wolf shows up, and he's like, "Can't let you do that, Star Fox." I know that whole game backwards and forwards.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm learning a lot about your relationship to Star Fox right now.
It's my favorite game. I used to speedrun it all the time. That was like my favorite game.
I didn't know the can of worms I was opening when I was slippy jokes. Learning a lot about my friends today.
All right, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Great. It was a good episode. I'm just cranky now, and I don't know why.
Cranky, tired. I hate Adult Swim for making us do this the way we did.
Yes.
Quickly, Max, Twitter.
Twitter and Instagram, Max_Ogle. Also, follow my weird sex work Instagram where I molest fruit. I just touch fruit with my hands. It's called Fruit at the Bottom Boy. If you can find it, congratulations, you found it. Come to Side Door every first Wednesday at Bushwick Public House. It's at 8 p.m. It's a good time.
Sick. Katie.
Find me at Katie Rose on Twitter and at Oh Hello Katie Rose on Instagram. I'll have a show sometime. You should come to it.
And find me at Jeremy Thunder on Twitter and, you know, come to my shows and whatever.
Also, if you want me to touch fruit for you privately, I will do a Skype session for like $35. Okay.
All right. That's all. Join us next week.
Super.